Good evening, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the headlines. A federal judge Thursday handed down prison terms of about 10 to 40 years to six white former Mississippi Sheriff's Department officers. The disgraced cops had pleaded guilty to torturing two black men in an hours-long attack that included beatings, repeated uses of stun guns, and assaults with a sex toy before one of the victims was shot in the mouth. United States District Judge Tom Lee called the culprits' actions egregious and despicable. Five of the six officers who attacked Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker were members of the self-described goon squad within the Sheriff's Department. The leader, Brett McAlpin, the highest-ranking officer in the Rankin County Sheriff's Office, was sentenced to 27 years on Thursday. Jenkins and Parker filed a $400 million suit against the department. And March 21st is the United Nations-sponsored National Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, commemorating the 1960 Sharpeville Massacre in South Africa. The president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, arrived to place a wreath at a memorial to those who were killed. It came from a nonviolent protest organized by the newly formed Pan-Africanist Congress, an offshoot of the African National Congress, that called for the abolition of the hated passbooks used by South Africa's apartheid government to control black people. When 7,000 protesters marched on a police station in Sharpeville, police opened fire. They killed 69 people. It was a seminal event that began a decades-long struggle for freedom in South Africa. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Thursday, racism is still endemic, and he pointed to a new discrimination, artificial intelligence, or AI.
We must respond to that reality, learning from and building on the tireless advocacy of people of African descent. That includes governments advancing policies and other measures, and tech firms urgently addressing racial bias in artificial intelligence.
Apartheid in South Africa officially ended on May 4, 1990. South Africa's first black president, Nelson Mandela, signed the new country's constitution into law on December 10, 1996, in Sharpeville. On Wednesday, the Biden administration began flying loads of Americans out of the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince as the violence in the city showed no sign of abatement. The main airport in the country was shut down by gangs, some call militias, preventing Prime Minister Ariel Henry from returning. He's been in Puerto Rico ever since. United Nations Representative Ulrika Richardson spoke from Haiti on Thursday, warning of possible famine conditions.
With 1.4 million Haitians being one step away from famine, health system continues to struggle. Very, very impressive health professionals. I'm constantly at awe of what they managed to do because of the roadblocks, the electricity cuts. Many health facilities in the capital have had to actually close.
Nearly 1,000 Americans are still believed to be in Haiti. In national news, the United States Department of Justice filed suit against Apple, claiming the company has violated antitrust laws by preventing other computer makers from accessing their smartphones. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Apple has maintained monopoly power in the smartphone market not simply by staying ahead of the competition on the merits, but by violating federal antitrust law. Consumers should not have to pay higher prices because companies break the law.
Apple iPhones represent about 70% of the market in the United States. In local news, on Wednesday night, at a contentious meeting, members of New York's largest school board district voted 8-3 to pass a resolution to examine the Department of Education's guidelines on transgender children's participation in sports. If adopted by the Department of Education, the measure would bar transgender girls from playing sports with teams that match their gender identity. The motion was promoted by board member Maud Maron, a member of the Conservative Federalist Society, and FAIR, a group opposed to diversity, equity, and inclusion education in schools. Jessica Savage is a member of the board who opposed the measure.
The danger with this is that it sets a really ugly tone for people who want to attempt to make groups of students feel excluded and less than. And that's what we really have to be careful about. I think it's easy to find that there's a slippery slope here.
Savage says the vote will further ostracize transgender students.
Because we know that these students are at risk for being bullied and discriminated against for trauma, something like this just goes right at the heart of the negativity and the hatred.
Schools Chancellor David Banks called the vote despicable. Paul D'Arienzo, New York.